Yes, hello folks, welcome to the weekly Manchester United show on Beyond the Pitch. I'm delighted to be joined here, of course, with my regular co-host Martin Woolworth, but also absolutely delighted to be joined here with ex-Manchester United winger Ben Thornley, of course, who's now an employee of the football club, who's with the club on tour for the American tour. I'm eager to hear his thoughts on everything he observed during that tour and his feelings on the mood inside Manchester United. So thanks very much, Ben, for joining us, mate.
Absolute pleasure, no problem. Great to be here.
Pleasure. Martin, you go ahead first, mate.
So, Ben, obviously, number one, how was the tour in general? Obviously, not ideal prep with it being a World Cup year, but no different than the other top sides across the world will have to experience missing players. But, you know, in general, how was the tour?
First and foremost, it is long, and secondly, you just hit the nail on the head there. When it follows a major tournament, either a Euros or a World Cup, it's always difficult because the lads who were involved with international sides, as obviously most of United squad are, they then have to calculate how much time they need for dependent on how far they got in the tournament. So it just means that the manager is filtering players back, giving them the correct amount of time off that they need to have a bit of a break and see the families, etc., etc. But it also means that he's taking other players that he perhaps wouldn't have done if he'd have had a full quota to choose from. Now, for me, I feel as though that possibly could have turned into a positive for Jose Mourinho because he's getting a chance to see some of these lads that, can they handle this sort of an environment? Are they good enough to compete against your Bayern? I know they only played Bayern Munich at the weekend, but your Real Madrid's and your Liverpool's basically who are going to be real candidates this season, as much as it pains me to say. And these are the teams that he needs to make sure that should these youngsters need to be bloodied, that they can, you know, that they can compete. I get the feeling with Jose Mourinho that he was a bit... he had his hands tied a little bit by the players not being there that he really would have wanted to use, and it hamstrung him a little bit because I'm not convinced that the players that he had with him he really thinks are going to be anywhere near his first team squad come Friday night.
Well, that is the question, Ben. If you're a young player, you don't care how your chance comes, how you get it, you take it whenever it comes. This is a great opportunity for young players to impress the manager, like you say, not just be able to handle the environment, but be able to show that they're capable of playing for Manchester United. Most of those players, you're quite right, will not be near his first team, but was there any? I mean, we talk about Heath Chong being possibly a first team player this season, maybe Angel Gomez will get more playing time this season. Was there any kids that stood out where you thought, you know what, they're in with the shout for next season?
I think two of them you just hit the nail on the head with. I watched a lot of Heath Chong in the under-23, certainly towards the end of last season, and I was really impressed with him, and I think he has got what it takes definitely to play Manchester United's first team. And Angel Gomez, I was actually at Yeovil in the FA Cup last year doing the commentary for BBC, he came on and actually with his first foot should have scored. So I saw his sort of debut there. He's got talent. The midfielder, James Garner, also is somebody that you'll probably have a little bit of a look out in the future. So I'm not suggesting for one second that none of these lads will get a look in under Jose Mourinho. That isn't the case. Look what happened with Marcus Rashford. Axel Tuanzebe, I know he's gone off to Aston Villa for the season, but he's a big, strong, strapping lad who, you never know, they might recall. Because there's obviously a transfer angle going on at the moment. United, are they interested in Boateng? Is it Alderweireld? Is it Harry Maguire? They've obviously allowed Daley Blind to rejoin Ajax, so there's another defensive type player that's not going to be there next season. There are young players that will get a chance. I don't think there's any question about that. I'm just not so sure that the manager will put them straight in from the start against Leicester in 72 hours' time.
What's your thoughts on Fosu Mensah? You think he is going to go out, or are you holding him back because of the lack of options at fullback?
That's him. That is definitely a possibility. He was one that I forgot to mention. He's another lad that has benefited from going out on loan to a Premier League side. Let's have it right, and that will be invaluable should he be called upon sooner than expected. I mean, you if everybody's fit, you're going to expect Antonio Valencia to start. Will Ashley Young, as he come back in time from the World Cup, will he actually go with Luke Shaw after you can see all the hard work that he's put in over the summer to get himself in really, really good shape? It is at the moment a little bit up in the air. And I don't like saying that about Manchester United at the start of the season. I like that things to have been done early. Let's forget about the results. It was only a couple of years ago that United went to the States under Louis van Gaal, beat Real Madrid, beat everybody over there, and then came back and lost the first game of the season. So I'm not reading anything into what happens. Yes, it's nice to win, but the main objective of pre-season is to have a look at your youngsters, to get through it unscathed, and obviously for your fitness levels to be at the best they can possibly be for when you kick off the Premier League season.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, Phil, but I know there's only so much you can say about this, but I mean, how different is the mood in the camp behind the scenes to the one that's being portrayed by the media? I mean, if you were to believe everything that's being put out there, and Jose in his press conferences, now obviously master of mind games, as was Sir Alex, but how big of a difference is this? Because surely it's not as doom and gloom as it's all made out to be.
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. The manager has his own way of, as all managers do, of dealing with the general public and especially the media. And maybe he's quite happy to portray that there are things that are going slightly wrong behind the scenes. But I can assure you that having spoken with lads that in the past few days that have actually come back from America, everything's absolutely fine. I think he will just be a lot happier when he gets his full squad back in training. You doubt that Lukaku, you doubt that Pogba, you doubt that Jesse Lingard, maybe even Ashley Young are going to start the game on Friday night. But I can assure you that two or three of them will definitely be on the bench. But they only started training on Friday. And the manager will hopefully have listened to the people that look after the fitness side of everything and said, these lads do need the time off. And this is when you need to bring them back. And if that is, that means that they're going to miss the first game, then so be it. But behind the scenes, he's ready. I know that he wants another centre half. We're nobody's under any illusion about that. It's been well documented all over the world that he's looking to buy an accomplished centre half. But aside from that, I think he's quite happy with what he's got, and he'll be hopefully putting out a full-on assault to go and catch Manchester City and make sure that your Tottenhams and your Liverpools and your Arsenals and your Chelsea's obviously under new management as well are not going to threaten us. They're there to threaten us, but are not going to be a worry for us after where we finished last season. We need to kick on. We need to close that gap, and if possible, we need to overtake it.
Ben, I want to ask you about something because that's often debated in the public, but I want to ask you as an ex-player, because there's this perception that Mourinho, whilst he criticises in public, he praises in private. But surely as a player, you want it the opposite. I know if I work for someone, I wouldn't want my boss telling me in private, you're brilliant, you're amazing, you're fantastic, and then as soon as he's talking to everybody else, he's telling how terrible I am, how I'm not good enough, I'm not professional. Surely I would want that reversed. I'd want the criticism in public, or criticism in private, and the praise in public. Isn't that typically what players want?
Yes. Yeah. I'd like to say no. And obviously, I have a lot of respect for Jose Mourinho and having met him, and obviously for what he's done. But yes, if it was me, I would prefer that whatever problems he had with me, that he addressed them behind closed doors. Now, if I had become particularly insubordinate and not prepared to toe the line, then I can see, and this is where you just asked me what goes on behind the scenes. You can't, obviously, unless you're actually in there and you can see it, you can't possibly know.
Right.
Now, if I'd just been deliberately difficult and disobeyed any sort of orders that he'd given me to either do extra training or to, you know, to play a certain position on the field or, you know, whatever that may be, and that happened over a period of time that I didn't pay any attention to him, then I could quite understand that he would have had enough of me, and he would be well within his rights to say, you know, Ben Thornley is this, that and the other, and as far as I'm concerned, he can disappear because he's not done as I've asked over a period of time. But until that sort of scenario occurs, then yes, I would prefer, if that was the case, for him to pull me to one side from the start and tell me what it is that he wants in private. You wouldn't want to be sort of not ridiculed, but you don't want you know what goes on between you and your manager and your teammates being broadcast. You want it to be kept in house.
Yep. Ben, with the relatively easy start. There's no easy games in the Premier League, as we know, but we've been handed a pretty decent opening to the season, really. Those first five games, really, the Tottenham away game obviously being the big one. How critical is it this year that we get off to
Tottenham at home. Yeah.
How critical is it that we get off to a good start? Because, you know, with City looking as good as they've been, you can't afford. I mean, those are the games that we should be winning and have to be winning. So, you know, from my point of view, there's got to be between 11 and 13 points taken from their first five games. If we falter there in those first five games, whilst we still, you know, bringing those World Cup players back in, it could end up being a long season.
I couldn't agree more. There are no easy games now in the Premier League. We look back to last year, and although I did have a slight wry smile on my face in October when my old team Huddersfield managed to get something off, I can afford that because they were never going to challenge us for the league. But Brighton and Newcastle, the other newly promoted teams from last year, also beat us. And we played Brighton in our first away game a week on Sunday. And these are the types of results and games where the outcome, we need to eradicate losing points like that. Because you're right, we have got a good start to the season. We played Tottenham at home. Yes, we know they're a good side. But our last three home games against Tottenham have all finished 1-0 in our favour. In the last three seasons, we've won every one by 1-0. And then I think before the international break, we played, is it Burnley? Which won't be easy. But again, another team that we've avoided most of the sort of top five, six teams until we get into, I think, October, if I'm correct, when we play Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. So we've got a huge opportunity to be able to, like I said, eradicate some of the poor performances and poor results that, like the Brightons and the Huddersfields. If we can get that and still maintain how well we did last year, picking up points from teams in and around us in the top six, which has been the best since Sir Alex Ferguson was here, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I thought our points tally last year, we beat everybody. We beat City, we beat Liverpool, we beat Spurs, we beat Chelsea. So, and I know that one or two got the reverse back on us, but overall, our record against the top five teams, six teams around us was pretty much as good as anybody's. So that is the good basis and a good platform to come up against Chelsea in October. And I agree with you, 12, 13 points out of the first five games would be superb, but I think we need to be looking at mid-October, having played, you know, nearly, I would imagine, 10 or 11 games. I think we need to be touching the sort of 23, 24 point mark,
yeah,
and then we can start seriously considering the you know, how well we're doing against your Liverpools and your Manchester Cities, and see where they are with the fixtures that they've got up until that point.
Well, obviously, the fans aren't stupid. I mean, that there is somewhat of a negative aura around Old Trafford now, and that the atmosphere hasn't been the greatest in the last couple of years. I mean, it's only going to go one way if we start poorly. But on the flip side, you know, if what's portrayed as being a poor off-season, what Jose's been saying in the media, if we then go out and get those 10, 15, 20 points in the first 7, 8 games, 9 games, feel-good factor comes back and the crowd really start getting back into things.
Absolutely. Martin, you're exactly right. And that is that's what Man United fans will love, that they will, you know, nobody's going to talk about Madrid beating us. Nobody's going to talk about Liverpool hammering us in pre-season. Nobody's going to talk about losing to Bayern Munich. Everybody, once the first game kicks off and we can get a victory, they're going to want to kick on. You need to, enroll that as well with what's going to, or envelop that with the Champions League, where I think the draw's at sometime at the end of this month. So you've got that kicking in September as well. And if we can get ourselves on a winning run to start with, then all of a sudden people are thinking, you know, this might well be his season. We need to get behind him. Whether they're behind him at the moment or not, after what's gone on in the last 2 years, what's been said over pre-season, they need to get behind him now, because he's the Manchester United manager as it stands, and we know that his third season is his most critical. And United haven't won the league since Sir Alex Ferguson left in 2013. And for me, the end of this season will be 6 years, and that is too long for a club like Manchester United, who dominated for years the Premier League. That's too long for them to go without winning a big major trophy. And it's that, and it's the Champions League. We've done the FA Cup, which was great. We've done the Europa League, which was, I think, was a marvellous feat for Jose Mourinho. But now he's back at the top table, and he's got a squad that he knows can challenge the Liverpools and the Manchester Cities. He needs to be looking at the league, and certainly the latter stages of the Champions League.
Ben, just before you go, obviously with the transfer window closing early for English clubs, you mentioned that we're looking at centre-backs, of course. The other big concern is who continues to stay at the club. Lots of rumours are surrounding Paul Pogba's future, possibly Anthony Martial leaving. Are you concerned about either of those or anyone else I haven't mentioned leaving before the end of the window?
I would be. I think it's been, you know, it's been well documented as well that you know, the problems that Anthony Martial has had under Jose Mourinho. We saw during the World Cup and in fits and bursts last year what a wonderful player Paul Pogba is. Now, I wouldn't like to see either of them go. If one of them were to go, then okay. But are we prepared to have a replacement lined up, ready to come in? Be it a top-class midfielder that Paul Pogba obviously will become, or a really exciting winger that we've seen of Anthony Martial, none more so than on his debut against Liverpool a few years ago, when he looked like he was going to be an absolute world beater. And my worry for him especially is that he might go to another Premier League team and he might be that world beater.
It might be Kevin De Bruyne?
Exactly. Yeah, he might be somebody that comes back to haunt United. But if he's not happy and the manager's not happy with him, I can handle losing one of them, like I said, as long as the replacements are coming, losing them both at this stage of the proceedings with the start of the season so close and the window closing would be a minor disaster.
Martin, you got anything else before we go, mate?
Well, I just like to say, it was quite funny to hear you there. Old habits never die. Ben, still calling Sir Alex the manager. He's just always the boss. He's always going to be the boss, right?
That's exactly right. He's always the boss. He's always the gaffer. He's always the manager in my eyes. And, whenever I refer to the manager, I always make sure that people know that is who I mean.
That's fantastic. Ben, we really appreciate it, mate. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. And, you know, genuinely do appreciate that. And I'll certainly be seeing you later in the year when I get back home.
No problem. It's been an absolute pleasure, guys. Hope everything goes well for you.
Cheers,
no
Ben.
No more blackouts.
Thanks, man. Thank you so much.
Cheers, bye now, Ben.
Bye.
Take care. Cheers, fellas. Bye.
Welcome back, folks, to the Weekly Manchester United Show. That was Ben Thornley. Ben, of course, being incredibly open and honest for a club employee, Martin, very rarely do you get them that honest and that open. I think there was some hidden clues in there, and I'll let you work out who he was talking about. Whenever he was talking about criticism in public due to someone not doing extra training, not doing what he was asked to do. The thesis or the theme of this will be more or less about in defence of Jose Mourinho. We let into him last week and we got some mixed reviews. So for those who are still, I don't want to be all negative on Mourinho because that's unfair. We'll talk about that. But before we get into in defence of Jose Mourinho, Martin, some reaction to that Ben Thornley interview. Quick interest about Pogba Martial. He's concerned that neither of them will be at the football club come the end of the window. That is a catastrophic outcome. And of course, there's some news also breaking this morning. I don't know if this is true or not, but that Juan Mata has been offered the Inter Milan, who've turned it down. What's your take on what you just heard from Ben?
Well, I mean, obviously concerning but not surprising. I still would be surprised if both Pogba and Martial were to leave. I think it's likely at this point. I don't see a way back for Martial. I don't see where the relationship is between Jose and Anthony Martial. It's just a shame. Mm-hmm. But I guess if you look at it from Ben's side of it, and you know, ex-player and being at the football club, if he doesn't want to be there and he's no relationship with the manager and the manager doesn't necessarily want him there, then hey, time to move on, because you're just throwing money down the drain. It would be a shame, and I do think that Anthony Martial will be someone who, if he does leave the club, will come back to haunt us at some point. I just think of the Kevin De Bruyne's, the Mo Salah's, the Romelu Lukaku's, Andre Schürrle's, who Jose has fallen out with or not rated or for one reason or another let go. And they've gone on to pretty decent things. Pogba, who knows? That's a scenario that's got to be quite concerning for the club. I just do hope that if that any deal does happen, that we hold out and we don't give him away. I mean, that reported offer that Barcelona made was quite ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, look, I'm going to say a few things in defence of Mourinho, because he's always used with the same stick to beat him. He's always used the De Bruyne, the Mo Salah. First of all, lots of things happen for lots of different reasons.
Absolutely.
You could also point to Drogba. You could also point to Essien. You could also point to Carvalho, Paulo Ferreira. You could also point to Deco. You could point to lots of players that Mourinho has improved, both modern and early in his career, who have had fantastic careers, no question. Didier Drogba owes so much to Jose Mourinho, magnificent player. Terry, Lampard, you know, there's so many magnificent players that he has made better. There's no question.
And, 100%. And then add Willian to that. With Willian's comments, that he's the best manager he's ever played for and would love to play for him again one day. Absolutely.
Same with Matic. That's where Matic went back there.
Yeah, we know that, you know, we laid into him pretty hard last week, and, you know, I stand by a lot of the stuff I said, but I think people took that as gospel, and that's our only focus, which is really not. Maybe it came across that way, but, you know, I got a lot of time for Mourinho, what he does. I don't agree with the system. I don't agree with the style of play. I don't enjoy the style of play. I don't agree with the things he says in his press conferences, in the media, out in the open about his players. But the transfer window is a major tool. Danny Higginbottom said it best. You have to sign players these days just to stand still. And if Jose is given these lists and they're not being followed through upon, I mean, Liverpool had no problem getting their targets in. Why is that? You know, a club like Manchester United, the size of Manchester United, when you've got Ed Woodward coming out saying we can do things in the transfer market the other clubs can only dream of, we can outspend anybody, and then not following through with anything is just catastrophic, and it's an absolute shambles. So for all we do get on Jose's back about, he is being handcuffed majorly by the board. Yes, he's spent a lot of money. Yes, I believe he should be doing a lot more with what he has. I think when you put that first 11, first 12, 13 on paper, which could include six or seven of his own players, he should be getting more out of those players from his standpoint, from a tactical, technical, and footballing point of view. But the board is letting us down. He's letting him down, and his frustrations are showing. And it was nice to hear Ben that Ben say that the mood behind closed doors is a lot different than the one that he's portraying in the media?
Well, look, as I was saying, and the thing is, when you point to his successes and failures, when you look in the market, first of all, he doesn't set the price on what players go for. So how much has been spent has got nothing to do with him. But one of the biggest failings for Mourinho is it's almost as important that who you get out as who you get in. Mourinho last season told 8 players, I think 6 of them are still there, 5 or 6 of them are still there, that they can leave. He now has to go back to players that he's told he can leave and say, do you know what? I absolutely need to rely on you now because the club couldn't sell you because the club wouldn't accept the fees that were being offered for you. They didn't want to accept still paying your wages when you leave, many of which these players are not his players. So I think that that is a problem. The fact that, you know, people always do this. If Mourinho was in charge of City and if Guardiola was... Look, let's do this. What if Woodward was in charge of City? City would still have Kolarov. They'd still have Zabaleta. Yaya Toure would still be an option. It would be a mess. There wouldn't be Ederson. There wouldn't be any of these things. It would be a stupid game of cat and mouse and once again using deadline day as a bargaining chip in the hope that you can get what you want. But... you know, United haven't moved the squad forward really this summer. And clearly Mourinho's operating under before you bring somebody in, someone has to go. So I think that he's working at a football club that has business goals, not football goals. Mourinho has football goals, not business goals, and they're constantly in conflict. Mourinho wants to win titles. United just want to finish in the top 4. Mourinho wants to win the European Cup. United just want to get the latter stages of it. United view everything through the prism of profit. Mourinho views everything through the prism of success, winning trophies. There's a direct conflict here, and it's burnout in how United go after players, how United sell players. They don't care that Darmian's there another year. Mourinho has to get the best out of him. What they care about is whether they get the going rate. It's cheaper for them to keep him than it is to sell him. This is the problem, because if they sell Darmian, they now have to give Mourinho a replacement, and that costs more than selling him, so it's cheaper for them to keep him.
Well, not only that, but I mean, look at it from this point. I mean, it's like you said, somebody made a comment to me this morning about what happened to Jose getting rid of all the deadwood like he said he would do. I said, my response was, well, to sell a player, you have to have a buyer. And you have to have a buyer when you're buying a Manchester United player who's now willing to absorb the enormous wage packet that they're on at the club. And that's just that's come about because of the shambolic transfer strategy over the years. We're paying over the odds, giving them ridiculous wages to force through moves, and then not being able to move them on.
Yeah, and that's the problem. It's not Mourinho's job to sell them. It's Woodward's job. So you can't criticize him for not selling players. Are you telling me that Jose Mourinho, if he was at Man City, he'd be walking the league, Martin? If you give Mourinho this choice of picking players and getting who he wants, you think his centre-back pairing Smalling and Jones? I don't think so.
Well, No, I don't think so either. But I mean, he has to take the rap for Bailly and Lindelof. That they're players that he brought in. Just like he brought Matic in, he's brought Lukaku in, he's brought Sanchez in. So there's a fair few players in that starting 11 who, if you were to put the starting 11 on paper, are his players. So he has to be responsible for those players from a footballing standpoint. But absolutely. I mean, the recruitment process has been all wrong. The strategy in general in the transfer market has been all wrong. It's all over the place. I just want Jose to be responsible for the players, at least, that he's brought in. And there's a squad of players there. While it is threadbare, where it's lacking majorly in certain areas, I still think that there should be more coming out of what we have. But again, you know, in defense of Jose, and... It's just shambolic, and you know who can blame him for getting so frustrated.
Let me ask you about his signings. How many of his signings, if United try to sell him today, would United take a loss on? Maybe Lindelof, but the rest, you know, they could sell Bailly at a profit. They sell Pogba at a profit. Maybe Sanchez because he's getting older, but. But maybe not, because if Sanchez comes in and puts an exceptional season, then United could easily sell him for more than 35 million. But he's on proven. But if you look at the rest of them, I mean, on proven United, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, you would have to say that he hasn't cost the club any money. Because if United sell Pogba, they'll get more money for him. If Martial, who's not his signing, United would make a profit on, although that's either now or never with him because his value will drop if he has a dreadful season and his contract's opened up and all this stuff. But if you look at the players that Mourinho signed, Dalot, of course, we don't know. Fred, we don't know. But prior to the summer, I mean, most of his signings, to be fair, like he got the money back on Mkhitaryan, did a straight swap, actually would have been a profit then. So he's not signing players that are not costing United. You know, they're assets that United could sell. And that's not bad, Martin, because if you look at the rest of the track record in the transfer market of Van Gaal, Van Gaal's track record was a disgrace, an absolute disgrace. So I trust Mourinho's judgment in the market probably more than any manager I've trusted in a long, long time. So if Mourinho targets a player, Perisic he targeted last summer, most people will look at Perisic and, what? Nobody's saying that now. Everyone's looking at him going, if he'd have got Perisic, what difference would he have made? A massive difference.
Well, just on the basis of the balance of the squad, he would have made an enormous difference. And then again, we go to the board there. We're haggling over 5 or 10 million, and we've lost out on that. And look at the World Cup he had.
The other place I want to defend Mourinho in. Mourinho may be the most important ally inside that football club of fans who are frustrated with United's parsimony. So Mourinho, it will frighten the life out of Woodward, because he's unpredictable and you don't know what he's going to say, and he's not intimidated into being quiet. He's not a David Moyes. He's not someone that's going to toe the party line. And make no mistake about it, the United board and people behind Mourinho are concerned about what will happen if United don't sign anybody and what that will do to Mourinho. Mourinho has made it absolutely clear, and he made it clear the year before. Signing players has got nothing to do with me. I give my wish list and it's up to the club after that. Why is United sitting here 2 days before the end of the window doing what they always do? It's a joke. I mean, we know why. Woodward has to justify his job to the Glazers. Look, I saved a million here, I saved a million there. I didn't just pay asking prices. I understand that. But you have to start a little bit earlier. You can't be waiting to 2 days ago to get to Munich to ask them about Boateng. Why, does Bayern not have telephones? You had to wait to go there to ask them. A player they're trying to sell, and then you offer 25 million euro. I get that it's a starting price, but come on. I mean, this is nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. So for me, I think in that sense, Mourinho deserves to be defended. He has, it's a hard job to manage Manchester United. You're not given, the private goals of Mourinho is a conflict, like I said, with Woodward's. This is difficult. And let me tell you, if United don't get the players they need this summer, then they have to do it again next summer. Now you're trying to catch up again on two summers, because you've still got to do the one matter problem. You still got other players and other positions that are going to need to be addressed. And the biggest problem inside that football club, without a doubt, is the Glazers. It's not Mourinho. It's not any of that. And Mourinho is a winner, an absolute winner. He's done it in terms of trophies, done a good job. I don't like the football we're watching. I've made that clear. But if he walked out of United now, he'd have been a success for me, no question.
He did what he was brought in to do, for sure. He got back in the Champions League. He's delivered a couple of trophies. The football is dire. That's where I have a hard time, because I just can't look past that side of it. I try and take all the other stuff behind the scenes out of it and just look at the product I see on the pitch, and I still, adamant there more could be done with the players available. But as you said, and rightly so, Phil, there's one major problem, and it doesn't lie with the personnel on the pitch. It doesn't lie with the personnel on the bench. It's all behind the scenes at the very top of the tree, and it's trickling down. As you said, they don't solve some of those issues, player personnel wise, this time and in the winter window. Then you're doubling up on next year, and you're going to be further and further behind. And it's that will be the concern. And if things blow up, and Jose isn't going to stick around, he's not going to stick around if this continues. And by no means think if he's out of there, don't you think he's going quietly?
Nope.
It will get ugly very, very quickly. So as we spoke there with Ben, that's why I made the point of it's imperative for United, it's imperative for Jose, the board, the players, the fans, that we get off to a decent start. Come hell or high water, we have got to win 4 or 5 of those first 6 or 7 games and get off to a good start and get the feel-good factor, get the fans behind us again, and get things moving forward. But a couple days left, obviously, in the window. Let's hope there's nobody going the other way. i.e. Pogba, Martial. Looks like one may will go, one of them being Martial probably. Mm-hmm. And let's hope that we get a couple of reinforcements in.
But I can't remember who it was. I think it was Rob Dawson. So I want to give him credit here on Twitter. And it did put a thought in my head where it was a fair point. And I think he said it was either him or Rob Dawson or James Robson from the Manchester Evening News. I can't remember. When they tweeted a point and said, so really, Alderweireld is the difference between having a tough season and an excellent season? And that's a fair point. So what if you even get Alderweireld? Is that the difference? Because, look, surely there's still so many problems in the squad that are a problem. Is Alderweireld the only thing separating United from a title challenge? What do you think?
I hope not. If one centre back is the difference between a right. title challenge and not, then there's major, major problems. Questions being asked of why there's so many defensive targets being looked at, and you know, and why so many defensive options when we had, I think, we're only a goal behind City, right, for the best defence in the league last year, thereabouts. The reason we had such a great defensive record is more about the setup. Of how we line up and how we defend and tactically how we defend, as opposed to the actual individual personnel in there. If we're starting a back four if we're starting Sir Alex Ferguson's back four, then we really are in trouble, aren't we? Mm-hmm. It's shambolic if that's still the back four we're starting. I hope the boy Dalot proves, you know, not six games for Porto, not much can be expected of him. Mm-hmm. add a bit of depth on both sides. Let's see what happens with Luke Shaw. By all accounts, from what Ben said there, that he's, you know, really putting his work over the summer. Let's see if he gets the shout, because obviously with Ashley Young being away at the World Cup, he may well get the nod on opening day there on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's the other thing. You talk about a strong start, and this is obviously a trait of Mourinho teams who make strong starts. I think that's been another thing that's troubled him over the course of this preseason, which really questions the wisdom of why you do these tours after a World Cup. And is it really of value to relevant sports who host these tournaments, given that there's always backlash to not bringing superstars? You know, American fans are not stupid. And this has been going on for a long time. And we understand the commercial aspect of it. But see, once again, here you have an example of, and of course all big teams do this, but the commercial versus the football conflict, and the commercial conflict always wins. So if Mourinho really, there should be discussions at United saying, look, should we do tours after the World Cup? The next World Cup will not be a problem. It's in the middle of the season. So I think you won't have a problem doing it. But there really has to be some question marks about this, because, you know, what value? Where I will criticize Mourinho is why bring these kids in and lay into them? It just makes no sense. And, you know, people are trying to twist it. Whatever side of the Mourinho debate you sit on, somebody are trying to twist it negative, some are trying to twist it positive. You know, to me, it's blatantly obvious. It's been laid out by Ben. Mourinho's frustrated at some of the shortcomings in the squad. That's not his fault. And he's, mm-hmm. as long as he's manager, he should be backed 100%. And look, Martin, he made a point, and I think it was completely misconstrued, and I think he did it deliberately, where he talked about after the Bayern game, United's, the kids that were on the pitch that were marking Ribery, that were marking Lewandowski, that was Mark and Robin, and he went through United's team. And to me, that was a dig at United's board, that here's the contrast between a real football club and this. This is their squad, this is our squad. Mm-hmm. You want to compete for a European Cup? Take a look at what it takes to do that. This is legitimate quality, and I'm playing kids. That, to me, was what the point he was making there. And it is a fair point, because, you know,
yeah, it really
ridiculous.
Is.
So we'll see what happens. Before we go, Martin, I want to ask you quickly about Leicester. Obviously, Friday, can't wait. The season starts, no matter what the situation is, still football. Mm-hmm. What do you expect to happen on Friday?
I don't know. I don't. I can't categorically answer. I, you know what? And And no matter what we think about Jose, no matter we're diehard Man United fans, yeah. And we back our club to the fullest, and I'm fully behind every member of that squad, and fully behind Jose to go and prove us wrong. And look, it's my club, it's your club, we'll always back it, we'll always be behind it. Just because we don't agree with some of the things and some of the tactical things doesn't make you any less of a fan. That's the thing that really bothers me in public, where you're supposed to be a so-called fan if you criticise something in the club. No, I care. I care deeply about my football club. I don't. We've no idea what kind of lineup he's going to put out. Obviously, Ben, as Ben's saying there, we don't know. You can pretty much rule out Lukaku, Pogba, Ashley Young, Lingard, who have only just recently returned. Rashford. Obviously now it gets a big chance. Maybe we see Sanchez down the middle. Rashford could get himself off to a good start there. Wouldn't surprise me at all to come out to short Friday and see United just blow them away in true United fashion, where it's gone from shambolic to heroic in the space of a week. So with whatever happens, I can't wait. You usually get that World Cup hangover where, all right, I've seen enough football. I've seen three games a day for a month. I can't wait. I've missed the gap between the World Cup and the Premier League season. Are you kidding me? I can't wait. I hope it's a positive result. I hope we can get off to a flyer here. Mm-hmm. Let's get back behind the club now. Let's get a good atmosphere going at Old Trafford. Let's get a good atmosphere going amongst the fans, and let's give this a good go. And you just never know. Things change very, very quickly. And like I said, we've still got a couple of days to go. Big things can happen. Certainly on Thursday. Deadline day is always a strange day.
It always is, and like you say, all right, we have to be optimistic. Folks, thanks to all of you who downloaded the show. Assuming something does happen between now and Thursday, we'll come back and do an addition to this.
Yep.
Thanks to all of you who downloaded the show. Thanks to all of you who follow myself and Martin. It is so much appreciated. Thanks to all of you for the lovely feedback on my chat with Raphael, our superb fella. And as you can tell from that interview, still misses United fans and, of course, is upset deeply with Van Gaal. But some more United content on the way. Thanks to Ben Thornley, of course, who joined us to give his insights. And big thanks to my co-host, Martin. All the best, mate.
Cheers, mate. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Bye now. See ya. Bye, folks.